You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
For this next piece, Trishel has produced it as part of his work for an internship here at 95 BFM under his communications degree at the University of Auckland. This week, he speaks to two students about their experiences accessing mental health services.
As the current lockdown stretches near its third month, the struggle to find help has only worsened. A report by Brittany Coe, published by Stuff, has found that young people have experienced wait times up to 18 months, just hoping to be seen by a psychologist. To make matters worse, a number of cases feel like they aren't heard, even when they do speak to one. I reached out on social media to hear the experiences of those I have known over the years who have gone through with seeking help themselves. We discuss their experiences within the mental health system and whether more can be done to assist others that are in a similar situation to them. I also attempted to reach out to the University Health and Counselling Service, but I could not get a response in time for publication. This report discusses depression and suicide, and if that is a sensitive subject for you, I recommend tuning out until the next story. The first person I spoke to requested to stay anonymous for the purpose of this interview, to protect their privacy. I asked them about when they realised they had been suffering from depression, the conversations they shared with friends and family, their attempt to seek out a counsellor, and whether they felt they had been heard out.
In 2018, I didn't really know so much about mental health. I knew that it was something that some people suffered with, but I'd never really made that connection that it was something I was struggling with myself until I met friends at the halls of residence, and they've talked about their struggles with their depression and anxiety and how they reached out for help. And that kind of really pushed me to look into it further, and that made me realise soon that, oh, that's something that I was struggling with myself, and it's actually a very common thing. I'm not what out of the ordinary. Like, a lot of people, unfortunately, do go through the same thing, and in a way it was also a bit of a relief too, like, knowing that I wasn't the only one. And then this year I just attempted again, just knowing that, just to try and give it another chance, because I had the same issues that I had a few years ago. And the first session I got pretty emotional talking about the struggles I was going through, because I'm a bit of a sensitive person, unfortunately. And basically she was a bit rude. And that's not to say that every therapist is like this again, but this was just her. But she was just saying quite a few comments about me crying and things like that, and that just really lowered my self-esteem. And unfortunately after that made me not want to reach out again, only because it was already hard enough for me to reach out to get professional help, and then that just kind of made it worse.
That's often like an issue with some people trying to reach out, is that they don't feel like they're being heard or understood. Do you feel like you felt a difference with reaching out the second time during lockdown?
Unfortunately, not really either. Like, I have been trying to reach out again. Like, I went through the same thing this year, and that's even before lockdown. I reached out to my new GP, who recommended me to someone else, but it was a very long waiting list, and in fact I never actually got to see her in the end. I reached out at the start of this year, and then I was kind of just asking my GP every month, like, hey, is there like any update on this? And she said, no, there's still unfortunately a bit of a backlog with that. So I feel like it's not even just the quality of the therapists out there, it's almost just like the availability and just the number of therapists out there, because I waited, I think I'd say about like till like June or July, and then finally there was someone there. But at that point, unfortunately my mental health had gone worse, so I kind of just gave up at that point. I think it's also because of that first experience I had with therapy. I think, even though, like I said, that's not everyone, it just kind of gave me, like, it didn't really give me a lot of hope when it came to it. And then knowing that this was delayed, it just made me feel like I was kind of being let down by the system. So, and I actually just turned that down in the end. And I've been considering going back again during lockdown, but unfortunately, because I made that horrible mistake of cancelling that first time, I'm now again in the back of the queue, and that's definitely on me. But at the same time, I also feel like it shouldn't have to be this way. There's definitely, I'm lucky enough that I'm not as in bad of a position as I was at the start of this year, but I feel like there are definitely people that are. And the way the system works, I almost feel like it's gone worse since that point when I first reached out, because at least then I got in straight away, whereas now, not just me, but a lot of other people are having to wait months on end, and it's not fair.
And no, that's the worst thing as well, is that it seems like more and more people during lockdown have been struggling. And even outside of lockdown, mental health is one of those things that there's always awareness for it. Yeah. But do you think the awareness is enough, or do you personally, from your experience, think there needs to be a wider look at the issue?
Good amount of awareness compared to where we were 10, 15 years ago. But in saying that, especially in New Zealand, we're not really doing enough for it. I feel like there's not enough help and resources out there for people. And especially during lockdown as well, as you know, the longest lockdown that we've all had, and we're all tired. There's people in situations where they can't even see their families. And you'd think at a time like this, they would provide more resources for us. But I also feel like there's not enough, not only is there not enough resources, there's not necessarily a lot of advertisement or anything for people to reach out. It almost feels like the professionals that are like telling us to like reach out, but then there's also we don't know how, in a way. Like, there's no, like, nothing that they can give us unless we go to our GP. That's definitely something that I've, like, experienced. I'm not sure if anyone else has seen it, but I just don't see, like for example, the COVID announcements. I really wish they would do, they would provide us with certain, resources to reach out to, but they don't. And I feel like people's mental health has definitely like taken a huge decline during COVID. Yeah, because like if take me for example, right now I'm actually not doing as bad as I was once upon a time, but it definitely comes in waves. And I know I've actually talked to a few of my friends who go through the same thing. Like, one, it could be different, like months, weeks, months, you feel better than others. And I wish that there was more help for people who were in those worst sort of waves.
I also spoke to longtime friend Joe Scarrow on his journey to seek help, with him opening up about how his father's passing profoundly affected his mindset with feelings of low and swinging moods. He also detailed how he expected to feel angry, but it was the low motivation and focus that really snuck up on him.
Which just sort of came pretty quickly within a few weeks. So it was about just before I'd started for the year, and I thought that it was going to get better on its own, but yeah, it didn't. And so I sort of found myself really struggling to get back into studies and stuff, and unfortunately for us, the courses don't tend to stop for us when we're having a hard time. They sort of keep on rolling. You've either got to keep up or think about taking some time off.
Yeah, and sorry for your loss, man. Like, that must be really hard to deal with, especially with you being in med as well, and like everything's just like fully ongoing.
So Dad passed away like the Thursday before I was meant to start on placement this year. So I'm on placement at Middlemore Hospital. And yeah, like, it's always, you know, before this year, sort of there's always a little bit of study to be done, and you'd sort of try and chip away at it and, you know, do an hour here or an hour there when you get home from the hospital or home from uni or something like that. But to find myself all of a sudden not able to sit down at my computer for more than 5 minutes because my brain was, it was like there was just constant TV static going on, and, you know, you couldn't focus, and that's always something that, but, you know, I'm sure a lot of students who have gone through something similar would agree that not being able to think and not being able to focus makes it damn near impossible to try and complete any uni assignments or focus on lectures. And
did you have any conversations with friends and family about what's going on?
The people around around me, like my flatmates and my family and stuff, were all very aware. I reached out to the counsellors at the uni pretty early on. I was trying to be smart about it and sort of just try and get some help or, before things got bad, because I didn't really know what sort of trajectory my mental state was going to be on. And I got lucky. The counsellor that I got assigned to first up was really good, and we worked well together, and she gave me a lot of tools to help with my mood and sort of stabilize things, and gave me a lot of tools so that I was able to sort of start recognizing changes within myself, so I can be a bit more proactive about getting ahead of it and making myself a little bit more stable. But I know that a lot of people don't have that experience, and I know that a lot of people will go see counsellors and then it's not for them, and whether that's just because talking to a counsellor is not for them or just because that particular counsellor is not for them. You know, I'd try and convince people that there's always going to be someone who is the right counsellor for you, and sometimes it unfortunately just takes a bit of time to get that person, and I definitely got lucky. So, yeah, I did a few sessions with them and they gave me a few tools that really helped me, and I was able to sort of get by, but that focus and motivation sort of stuck around. And then in about April, I think, I was on my psychiatry attachment. And funnily enough, I was learning about some of the antidepressants as part of my attachment, and there's one called sertraline, which I was sort of having a look at, and there was the added benefits. It was sort of recognized as helping with sort of focus and motivation. So we went and had a chat with a GP, and yeah, so I've been on an antidepressant since about April or May, and I was actually quite surprised at how easy that conversation was to have with the GP. You know, just being honest to them, like, hey, look, you know, I need something, because in my mind there were two options: were use something like an antidepressant as a tool to get through this year, or take the year off. And you know, granted that I was halfway through the year, I didn't really see taking a year off as anything beneficial to my own personal state. So.
And, like, with taking antidepressants and recognizing your own journey, do you feel like you're comfortable to say that you're in a better place mentally than you were at the start of the year?
I think in parts, and for most of the time, I definitely am. I think that one of the things that's helped me the most is just being sort of pretty honest and open with myself and with, you know, my partner and my flatmates and stuff about whether or not I am good or not, you know. And there's always going to be some bad days. You know, taking an antidepressant isn't a fix or cure. It sort of smooths out some of the bumps. And it's not a cure. Like, I'm expecting that when I taper off the antidepressant and I will start to get a bit more fluctuations in my mood, because the thing that sort of helps with my, you know, with grief and my sort of journey, the only thing that helps really is time and conversations with people. So yeah, I think I am in a better place. I mean, within about 3 or 4 weeks of starting it, I was able to actually sit down and do work for more than 5 minutes. I was able to actually complete assignments and be productive. So, and I found myself actually being able to contribute to the teams at the hospital and stuff, as opposed to just sort of being there and kind of zoning out a lot of the time. Taking medications and stuff might not be for everyone, but it's definitely something that if people are struggling, that, you know, a conversation with someone you trust or with a doctor or something is always going to be a good place to start.
The conversation around mental health has evolved over the years. Like, people are feeling more comfortable to go to therapy, reach out for help, and that's also in part because people are raising awareness around the conversation. Do you think more needs to be done in helping, like, especially students?
Yeah, man, I think that's a really good point. Like, 100%, the conversation around mental health has evolved and is continuously evolving. And I think that the threshold for having a conversation about our own mental health within our generation compared to the generations gone by is in a much, much better place than previously. You know, like, being able to actually be brutally honest with your mates that you are feeling like shit, or that, you know, you are angry all the time, or, you know, just telling people that I'm on an antidepressant and people not really caring in the best way. You know, there's, I feel like the stigma that's around mental health and the stigma around the conversation of mental health is slowly going, and there's definitely more to go. It's far from perfect, but I think we're in a good, I think we're on a good track. It just needs to keep on improving, and ideally improve a little bit faster. I think that some of the administrative staff at uni don't really understand some of the stresses that we are going through, you know. And there's sort of, I don't know, I think that it's hard for them to get an appreciation for some of the, for the level of support that some students actually do need to help them get through their studies.
And to piggyback off that point, like, do you think that the mental health system in New Zealand does enough to assist young people? Like, not even just in your own experience, but, like, and what steps do you think could be taken to improve that experience?
I think that with the resources that they've got available, they're doing it probably as good as they can. Like, I don't think that, because 100%, there's not enough resources, there's not enough conversation, there's not enough services that are there to be able to help the young people, you know, people like students, people like us. But they're not doing it intentionally. They are there to help, and they are trying to help. But, you know, it's pretty hard for them when there's a under distribution of resources towards them.
Within our stretched mental health system, especially with how young people feel particularly vulnerable to depression, stories like these need to be heard out. Based on Ministry of Health data, within the last year, 19,154 young people have attempted to reach out for mental health support. The Mental Health Foundation has resources provided that can be contacted for confidential conversations with trained counsellors, as well as links to Lifeline and Youthline hotlines. These lines of support are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Auckland University Health and Counselling also offers 6 free sessions for all students enrolled in the University of Auckland.